Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving with Rusty. Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone out there in Radio Land. It's Living and Thriving time, and guess what? I'm Rusty. It's Thursday, and it's an incredible day because, well, Lord, do I have a story to tell you, but it would be a whole hour to tell you. It is so funny. I think y'all have to pants if you heard it too many times. We'll get to that at some point. I'm excited right now because not only has this radio show grown thanks to all of you, but we're also broadcasting on several other networks. I think it's 150 radio stations now that we are part of VIP. And so this is very exciting and very overwhelming, and my heart is pittering and pattering, and, you know, I still can't believe how many of you listen, and I am very grateful for that. Definitely stay on medium.com and check out my blog, my weekly blog, and, you know, write me, email me, Facebook me, send me postcards. I love postcards. And if you want to send donations to keep the radio show going, that would be wonderful too. But anyway, I have probably one of the most interesting people I've had on in the last few hours, I'm excited to really delve into and figure out the ooey gooey on Truth Seeker. What makes him tick? What makes him excited? Why does he get out of bed if there's like angels and demons and stuff? I like that stuff, but I don't know if I want to get out of bed and do that all day. I'm not sure. So we have Truth Seeker. He's a Christian mystic. He's an Amazon best-selling author. He's an artist, which totally I dig. He's released over 200 songs. What? Songwriter. Who would have thought? And he has a lot to share with us today. And so I'm going to pull him on because I'm excited to learn. Knock, knock. Truth Seeker, are you home?
I'm here. How's it going?
Hey, groovy like a Sunday morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing really good.
Good. Well, welcome to the show. This is Living and Thriving. This is where we get to pick your brain and pick you apart and find out what makes you ooey gooey on the inside. Are you ready?
Sounds awesome. Ready.
All right. So who are you? What do you do? And why do you do what you do?
Yep. Uh-oh. All right. Okay. Can you hear me? I'm sorry.
I can hear you, but I also hear a lot of echo.
Okay, yeah, I had the blog talk pulled up, and it started playing, and it sounded like you asked me the question twice. I'm sorry.
Well, there you go.
All right, so who am I? What's the question again? Who am I? What do I do?
Oh,
what am I doing?
You just heard it twice, young man. Who are you? What do you do, and why do you do what you do?
Well, I'm Truth Seeker. I'm a hip-hop artist, entrepreneur, energy healer, author, father, friend, enemy, a lot of different things to a lot of different people. It just really depends on who you ask. Why do I do what I do? For the healing. Like everything that I do as far as all of those things I mentioned, the music, podcasting, writing books, guided meditations, all of these really cool things that I'm involved with, and all of it has to deal with healing, inner healing, healing childhood wounds, healing regrets, and getting over obstacles and things like that. So all of it has to deal with healing for me, and so it's infused in everything that I do. So that's who I am, that's what I do, and why I do it, to heal the nation.
To heal the nation. So not many people, I mean, I do, and some of us do, but as a mass, it's not really hip-hop and spirituality. It's not normally something that you would see sitting together at a lunchroom. How does that work? How do you
yeah, well, I mean,
do that?
Music itself is powerful, right? So, I mean, even if we look at the way that hip-hop's being used now, like on the mainstream level, and the degradation of society and objectification of women and exploiting money and hurting people to get what you want. So we see what that's doing, and there's a song behind it, right? There's a movement that kind of lulls the people into it. And you even hear a lot of people who would say stuff like, you know, I don't really pay attention to the words, I just like the music. So, you know, music's very powerful, and you find yourself repeating these words or these catchy phrases and hooks that are stuck in your head and things like that. Found out that repetition reduces resistance, and the more and more that we hear phrases and terms and ideas over and over as accepted, we begin to let our guard down and accept them ourselves. And so I think that music plays a huge part in that. When I kind of had my awakening, I started off in the Christian church and wanted to try to like change my life and things like that. And for some reason, while I was doing that inner work, all of these negative lyrics would just come back to me at random times throughout the day. Just about like lyrics about robbing people, about killing, about making money and selling drugs. It's like, why are these things just stuck in my head? And that's how successful these people were with their catchy hooks. They hook you in for a reason. The unconscious mind picks up on that stuff and kind of regurgitates the things that we're listening to throughout the day. So I've kind of tapped into that from a spiritual standpoint, again, to healing and awe and wonder and exploration of the spirit world and God and Christ and UFOs and all of those things. And so my music just embodies like my whole spiritual journey, and I try to articulate it to make it sound to make it rhyme for hip hop, but then try to make it sound like it's something fun or something to be explored. And it's been really successful at doing that.
Well, and what's fun about that is it's a creative way to enter a new paradigm. So we don't necessarily think of Jesus or God as a hip-hop song. I know that a lot of people have in the past tried to cross that bridge, but somehow it just didn't kind of groove into the right way. It just didn't fit. And you've mastered that, and that you should be very proud of. I mean, that's a huge feat. And you have 200 songs that you've written. How many albums have you published, or have you not gone that route yet?
I haven't. Well, it's probably about 10 or 12 albums. Some of them are little EPs that are just like contains, you know, 7 songs and 10 songs and stuff like that. But we're about 10 to 12 albums and over 200 songs now. So I don't really use vulgar language or curse or anything like that in my music. So all of it's positive and uplifting. And so there's no need to change now, you know?
No, absolutely not. It's rolling and it's working. So as a parent, how do you feel about your child listening to whatever for children?
That's interesting. So, I mean, we definitely try to watch what we listen to around my daughter. Obviously, her, you know, going into high school and being out there with, you know, any and every type of person group under the sun at this point, it's a little hard to really hone it in. But we try to tell her the power of music. I mean, she grew up you know, going to my concerts and things like that, and know that we try not to listen to anything that's like vulgar or obscene or whatever. Everything doesn't have to be about, you know, God and ascension and all that kind of stuff every song. So there's some stuff we have fun with, but hopefully, you know, we let her know just the power of it to make choices for herself. And, you know, she seems to be doing a pretty good job at that. Some of that stuff's catchy. Some of it we check out together, but it's not like anything like that's like over the top, because there's some crazy stuff out there with this generation of music now, you know. So you definitely got to be really careful. A lot of it promoting drug use and promiscuity and all that kind of stuff, and they just talk about it nonchalantly like it's okay. It's like, hold on, no, that's not okay. That's disgusting, you know.
Well, and I think that's got to be a really hard line for you to toe, especially because, you know, you're a mystic and you deal with ascension and the spiritual realm. And it's difficult as a parent not to have those judgments in place and have that mindset, well, this is disgusting or this is not acceptable, when you and I both know it's in God's hands. It's the universe doing what the universe has got to do. And people who are gifted like you, you know, that's a hard role. That's a really hard role, because as a mom, I'll slap you. Don't you talk to my kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I work on my spiritual side to a point where I just kind of go, okay, breathe. It's the universe. This is God's plan. It just has to. And it's got to be hard for you. You know, you're trying to set an example, but.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing, too. I mean, you know, we don't want to get lumped in with these people who just kind of accept it, you know, anything too. And so that's one of the things about being free or being spiritual, is like, do what thou wilt type deal, where you just kind of are accepting of any and everything. That's been hard too for me, I would say, because like, I'm open up to a lot of far out mystical experiences and encounters, but they have to be places we draw the lines, because there's people who kind of weasel into these movements and take advantage of people. And I've heard some crazy far out stuff that people believe and do to take advantage of people. I mean, we're talking about, you know, sexual innuendos and sexual stuff and trying to manipulate people. And we still have to be somewhere people who draw the line or have some type of standards as well for morality and structure, you know.
I hear that for sure. So talk to us a little bit about your book. What is this about angels and demons and cool, kind of creepy, weird, oh my God, expand my mind stuff?
Yeah. Spirit Realm, Angels, Demons, Spirits, and the Sovereignty of God. I was able to get Jordan Maxwell to do the foreword. He's one of the godfathers of the esoteric movement in the U.S. And a lot of people look up to him for that, for spiritual wisdom and the hidden agendas behind the government. A lot of crazy far out stuff. He's been a pioneer, and he definitely was a pioneer for me. So it was just a blessing to have him be able to kind of give a cosign and give me five or six pages for the foreword. But the book really paints a picture of just angels and demons and what they are, the different types, archetypes, what the words even mean, how they operate together, and how they all work in this ecosystem around the human, and how we interact with them. And so I've kind of given a lot of definitions and what is believed in different traditions about these type of entities, angels, fairies, I mean, aliens. I really try to really cover it all. And if I've had any experiences or personal encounters with them, I've tried to kind of put that stuff in there as well, kind of making it practical or giving some validity. And then on top of that, of talking about all of these types of entities, giving you like biblical examples as well, because a lot of this stuff is in the Bible and most people don't even know it. We're talking about elemental spirits and telekinesis and psychic abilities and how we interact, and really showing like a lot of that stuff in the scriptures. And it's been a really interesting conversation to show people that kind of stuff that's in the Bible.
Well, and what's really intriguing are the individuals that have a limited awareness of biblical understanding. And I'm trying to be really gentle as to how I say that, because I don't want to piss too many people off. But not everybody really reads the Bible. They go to church and hear what the preacher says, and not all preachers are created equal. And I think that there's limited education as to really what they are, and ascension and using the power of the mind. How do you combat that? I mean, you and I are both on the same page with this.
Yeah, so like a lot of those people, because I really reach out to a former version of myself as someone who's like kind of like a biblical literalist, or like, if you can show me in the Bible, then I would believe it type deal. So I understand like going into it. That's why I wanted to kind of give some scripture references and some backgrounds and stuff on a lot of this stuff, because I talk about it openly. but people want to see it in the Bible. And a lot of them are open to the fact that if you can show them in the Bible, then they'll believe it, or then it'll connect some dots for them. So, it, you know, that's where I was. And so that's where I try to approach it for a lot of people, because there's stuff in there that we just read over because we don't understand. But when there's proper context, it paints a picture of some really interesting stuff, especially dealing with the spirit realm and how we interact with departed souls on the other side. I'm talking about past lives, reincarnation, communicating with deceased ancestors or teachers who have passed on and moved to the other side. A lot of that is understood through Eastern thought, Buddhism, Hinduism, Native American culture. But when it comes to Christianity, we're just kind of like, nope, we've never heard of that. And my pastor's never told me that. So we don't believe it. But so I kind of show some of those instances in the Bible where the Bible is like, there's a lot of that going on. And really just getting a clear look at the narrative. When we want to understand, you know, the Bible, it came from the East. And so I think we need to look back to the East and look to Eastern traditions and see a lot of this stuff that was going on in the scriptures, or it's like still being practiced today by, again, maybe the Hindus or the Buddhists as well, Native Americans, and showing you some examples in the scriptures that, you know, at least open up the realm of conversation.
Well, and what I love about an individual who's educated themselves on 2,240 religions in this world, which is about what it is, give or take a few weird ones, and I say that nicely, is the fact that it does come from tribal roots. And I don't necessarily mean tribal in the sense of African or Brazil, or it comes from a time period in which the dawning of man, the dawning of woman, the procreation of people. And we've always had this beautiful way or beautiful desire of sharing a gift of story, however that story manifests. And that's what's really cool about studying sociology and psychology and religions being the most exciting for me personally, is that you are hearing a story that's been told by 1,000 different mouths in 1,000 different languages for 1,000 different years. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of stuff that's missing. And I think it's purposefully missing. I think things were purposefully, like I was watching a documentary, BBC documentary the other day, where there are certain religious groups that are extremists that are destroying artifacts around the world purposefully, destroying the history of where, you know, things, history changers is what we call them, people who try to change the historical truth. And, you know, and I just kind of sit back because, like you, very ascended, very spiritual, very driven in being the highest vibration. I'm like, wow. Huh. Okay. Well, as an observer, this is what I'm supposed to do. It's really, really frightening. And I try so hard not to take that emotion on, but it kind of scares me a little bit for my kid and my grandkids and future generations, because there's so much history being destroyed purposefully. So now you're looking at books that are thousands and thousands of years old that people will sell their children for. I mean, some people are really, really, really extreme, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of look at these books and go, well, why did they omit all of this information about spirituality, about the fae, about past life, present life, that kind of thing, and even dimensional understanding? I mean, we're not the only race in the universe. That's just, we're not. It's not even remotely mathematically possible that we're the only species. But anyway, why did we do that? What are your thoughts? Because I have a whole list of theories.
Man,
what are your thoughts on that?
I'm thinking about it as you're sharing it. And I was one that would kind of, you know, want to do that at a certain time. I remember burning books. I had some first edition Manly P. Hall signature books, which I beat myself up now. But there was a time where I was kind of going back and forth from like just militant Christian faith, going back and forth with so-called new age or free thought kind of thing, and going back and forth, and didn't really know who I was, and trying to figure it out. And I would have these books and stuff, and then I would have some type of event go on in my life, and then I would just want to kind of run back to the church. And it was this process of going back and forth. But I know what it's like to get rid of artifacts and want to destroy them, at least even in your own life, in your own belongings, right? That's the first thing that happens with war, is you go over there and you destroy their artifacts. I mean, I remember watching, there's a documentary some years ago called Secret Space, and it was kind of drawn the idea that we went into Iraq and Baghdad and Iran as these places were literally like ancient Babylon, and some believe that there were stargates to other realms and gods would come through. Right. But there's footage of U.S. tanks over there just demolishing their temples and running through their statues. And so it's like, I mean, that's happened since the dawning of time. And you know, really the strongest, you know, army wins and gets to kind of tell history or his story, trying to figure out, you know what I'm saying, where did we come from, and the gods, and whitewashing, you know, history and all of this stuff. And it's usually, you know, it's something that's been done for a long time, and I've seen it being done. But I look at it now, I try to switch the roles a little bit, and seeing how Christianity has definitely been one to do that. And I mean, it's not just Christianity, it's Muslims, again, all of them want to kind of, our God is the only God, and go in there, destroy their idols, destroy their holy places, defame them, and kind of make a mockery of their God type deal. That's been something that's been going on since the beginning. But if we kind of reverse the roles and look at where we're now, there's a group of people now who, if it were up to them, and again, if we're talking about power structures and hierarchy, patriarchy, all that stuff, and the stronger gods kind of win, stronger armies. But there's a people now who would love to do the same thing with Christianity. They would love for this thing to be destroyed, to be forgotten, to be wiped off the face of the planet. And if you let them, if they organized enough, they're trying to do it, you know. So it's like, it's kind of something that's working against Christianity, where we are now being more progressive with free thought and stuff, and maybe looking at Christianity as being something primitive or something that holds women down or something like that. So there's a big rise against it. And again, if you know, who was to say, like, if those people got strong enough that they could erase Christianity off the face of the earth and be happy with it, you know?
Well, and my largest thing is, it doesn't matter who it is. I grew up in a very open-minded, my mother's Cherokee Indian, my grandmother's German Jew, you know. So I grew up in a very open-minded and very multi-religion background, and I feel very blessed that way. But the thing that comes up for me when I watch these documentaries, and when I watch war, and when I watch this control conflict, mind conflict, is fear. People are afraid. And I really think that there was a lot of information omitted from the general knowledge or general public in the Bible, in the Torah, in the Quran, in regards to spirits and the spirit world purposefully. Because quite frankly, if you don't trust your neighbor, how are you going to trust your neighbor messing around with a few demons, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, so let's just kind of skip a few chapters and let the general public know just enough. And I wonder if that's really how it evolved to such an extent, because we just didn't trust other people enough to play with the demons and the spiritual world without mucking it up. You know what I'm saying? I think that's that's one of the things we're doing with aliens and Area 51 and all of this history that's starting to surface in truth, and exposed to the general public very slowly, because we just didn't trust that other people could handle the information.
Yeah. There's been experiments and things like that to see if the population would be ready for disclosure, if you will, and really show us what's going on. But I don't think we are ready. I mean, I know we're ready for like something outside of ourselves, or maybe the saviors to appear. There's a bunch of us who are kind of, you know, ready for disclosure and that kind of thing. But if we really knew what was going on, then I think it would pull the rug out from what the government elite has kind of set up, this whole, you know, matrix of power that is running, you know, really well for them. You know, and so telling us the truth and our star brothers or the gods, you know, what was going on in outer space, I really think that it would overthrow what they're doing, and they would lose power because we would know that they don't have all the power type deal, you know. And so I think we're gonna get there eventually, but I don't think it's gonna be by like a free will of the government letting us know what's going on type deal.
No, but I think the more we ascend and the more we share these stories, the conversation, having a strategic conversation with possible solutions rather than problems or fear-based thinking, is more constructive than what we've been doing for thousands and thousands of years. And I think if more people gather like us and have these conversations, we can go back to the days of the wise ones and have communities that are more constructively run versus houses that have 15 different locks on the doors and the windows and, you know, mm-hmm. all these floodlights and backlights and video cameras and tasers and just all this fear-based paranoia, fear thy neighbor, weird stuff that we've evolved into.
Yeah.
But I also think that there's going to have to be a cataclysmic wake up, you know, and I don't think whether you're ready or not, it's going to change the way the universe is going to unveil itself.
Yeah, it's a progression, I think, that's happening. And, you know, when it comes to, you know, I'm saying disclosure and what's really going on, it's not going to come from the government. People are waiting for Trump to really fill us in and let us know what's going on, or whoever we elect to let us know what's going on. But I think disclosure comes from above, and there's so many people having their own experiences through meditation, through stargazing and CE5 initiative. I mean, that's a part that I put in my book, where we've gone out and just had encounters by ourselves under the night sky with beings and ships and all of these things that are traveling out of stargates, and we've been privileged to see. And I think that it's leading people to kind of do their research and really figure out what's going on. So, you know, this evolution of consciousness, if you will, and people ascending and moving closer to love, and it's definitely happening. And there's, you know, this conversation we're having right now is becoming more popular, and there's more people doing it. I remember, you know, when I was one of the only shows talking about this stuff, especially even from like a Christian perspective, right? Bringing the Bible into it and showing you some far out stuff and in the scriptures and stuff like that. I remember when I was like one of the only ones doing it, and I kind of got popular for those people who were like, hey, there's a Christian talking about this kind of stuff, and not demonizing everything, because that's been there. I mean, Christians have been talking about this, but have been demonizing it. But now there's so many friends, groups of Christians and believers and churchgoers who are talking about aliens and talking about magic mushrooms and talking about stargazing and interacting with nature spirits and fairies, and they're not demonizing it all. So I've definitely seen it with even this message being accepted. And like, I've been like, now I've been able to kind of go on Christian podcasts and talk shows, and now they want to hear what I have to say. I've been talking about this stuff for years, but it's been demonized and, you know, saying stay away from him and all that kind of stuff. But this awakening is happening with people all over the world, and it's beautiful.
It's exciting that people are allowed to be themselves. I mean, my whole generation, we were all healers. My whole bloodline for thousands of years were all healers, and it evolved into nurses as we had to become more quiet about our healing abilities. You know, 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago, you would not call yourself a Christian mystic. Wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you wouldn't call yourself a pagan. You wouldn't call yourself certain things, because you knew that it would just unload a raft of uneducated, ignorant anger. And that's the nicest way I can put it. And so now we've really had a lot of rainmakers move forward and pave a path for you and I to have the privilege to have these open conversations in regards to healing and the healing arts and what does that really mean. And it's very exciting. Like, I wish you could see me. I feel like I'm levitating. Like, I get so excited to know that even science is on board with this. And we are actually having open conversations with scientific minds as healers and going, see, dude, we've been telling you this for years, you know, but even scientists are getting on board. So that even that forces more legitimacy into what we've been saying for years and what most of us have been murdered for, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's mind-boggling to think that there was so much fear. I mean, so much fear that you would burn people, shoot them, hang them, tar and feather them, throw them off boats, because they saw something. Isn't that wild? How far we've come?
Yeah. Yep. I think it's a testament to where we're going to.
Amen.
It's really awesome where people are and where it's accepted, and we can talk about this stuff openly again. They said people died, you know, for our right to do that. Literally, like they've, you know, saying to keep the tradition alive and just being open and honest with who they are. And now it's the other way around. Now if you're not, if you don't talk about it and you hold it in, now you're kind of on the outskirts and you're missing out, you know, on this. And there's a lot of people who are still, you know, they're coming into who they are and they're learning and they're scared, but it's a whole process that we all have to kind of go through as well.
I used to get into a lot of trouble because, you know, again, my roots growing up as a child was very open. And I would ask my uncle, who is a Protestant preacher, well, why do you believe in angels but you don't believe in ghosts? He used to get so mad at me because they don't exist. The angels. And I'm like, why do you believe in angels if you don't believe it? Because I've seen ghosts all my life. You know, I talk to the dead all the time. It's just like, huh. Well, if you can see angels, you can see the ghosts, right? And it's still in some places very hard for people to wrap their head around that. What was your experience when you, because it sounded like you really struggled with coming to that neutral ground. I mean,
it was a long process,
like,
really. Yeah, it was a long process for me, really, because religion was, you know, it was really hard to come out of like abandoning everything that, you know, my identity was caught up in, you know, not who I was, but what I did, you know, as a Christian minister and evangelist going around telling my story and things like that. So to make the transition to start talking about ghosts, to start talking about UFOs or astrology or DNA and just all of the far out stuff that I've talked about, it was really hard to really embody that. And kind of started going mad a little bit, man, just going back and forth and not being comfortable in my skin and who I was. And so it was interesting. I had a talk with the lady last night on my podcast, and she's a Christian, and she addresses a lot of these things, channeling, mediumship and Reiki and all that stuff, even from a Christian perspective like myself. And I asked her about choosing, like, when did, you know, did you have to choose? Was it either Christianity or New Age or whatever? And we've been told we had to choose. And she was like, well, the power was when I found out that I didn't have to choose, that I could really just be myself. And I'm a little bit of all of it. You know what I'm saying? That I, and so that was the thing, too, of this illusion of choice, that I had to pick either Christian or spiritual. You know, I couldn't be a spiritual Christian, like, you know what I'm saying? Or just be a little bit. I believe some of this. I don't believe the majority of it or whatever the case is. And so just embodying what you believe and being open and honest about it and being open and authentic is really sexy right now, you know, and it's really envious for that people want it. And it, you know, and I would see other people do it and they were just unapologetic. They weren't, you know, they weren't jerks or anything. They was just who, you know, what you see is what you get. And there was other people just who were comfortable in their skin and their life and doing what they love for a living and all of these things that were just so envious. And just I began to just try to, you know, give it a shot. And after years of going back and forth and this pendulum swinging back and forth, I just chose to, like, you know what, I'm not going to just, you know, be so, you know, have all these crazy absolutes of things that I don't know and can't prove and things like that. And I just be myself. And how eclectic and beautiful and weird that is something that, you know, they'll have to take up with God, because I've tried to fight these things that God has put within me and they won't go away. And it's something that, maybe I should look into it. And everybody in the church would say that was demonic or whatever. But for me, it was, you know, a good 3-4 years I was going back and forth, and it was so hard. It was very hard, but it was worth the fight, though.
I love the fact that you're very honest about your birthing, I guess. You know, you really had to, like, kill off parts of your old self to allow the new stuff to grow. And what did that do for you? Like, is that when you started seeing demons, or did you see demons before and you were just trying to deny that you saw them?
Well, I mean, that's kind of what opened up. I mean, Christianity, that it was more of the demon thing. It's kind of weird. For me, what kind of opened me up to the spirit realm was having demonic encounters as a kid. I remember, you know, 4 years old, laying in my bed and having a sleep paralysis episode. I woke up and there was these beings laying on me, each side of my chest, pinning me down to the bed. And it changed my life at 4 years old. It gave me an experience that I wanted answers for. And as I grew up, I was just led to the paranormal and looking into different supernatural thriller movies. And I would do sleepovers, and I would talk about it, and I would ask friends and cousins, and, hey, have y'all ever had this? And eventually people would say, yeah, I've had something like that. And we would hear more about it. And so it really opened up the door for me to kind of start exploring that kind of thing of a demonic experience, you know? But in it was kind of weird, like in the Christian church now, there's this notion of where it's okay to talk about demons. I mean, there's demons everywhere. There's demons behind this. There's demons behind that music. There's demons behind that movie. There's demons behind Pokemon. There's demons behind Harry Potter. I mean, there's demons everywhere when it comes to what's allowed to be talked about in the Christian church. But it was when we started talking about the angels that they had a problem. You know, when it was like, you can see a demon behind any and everything, and it's okay. But the minute that you had encounters with angels and things like that, then it's like, hold on, I don't know if you know, if that's legit. So it's really interesting the fact
really?
That they kind of almost look for, yeah, and these encounters with demons, but the angelic talk, that was kind of out of their framework for, like, having divine encounters and stuff.
Well,
yeah. They're always looking to cast out demons and, you know, all that kind of stuff. At least the churches that I come from, the charismatic guys.
Well, I think if we go back to what we were talking about a half an hour ago, gosh, isn't that a beautiful way to incite fear and to have people worried and scared? If we're not talking about, you know, the divine aspects of the universe, the universal law of love and forgiveness and understanding. We're talking about the demons being in everything. Don't touch that because you're going to get burnt. Well, you know, that's kind of the same thing that they were doing when they omitted a lot of the information about, you know, oh, geez, if your grandmother's cursed and she's coming at you, what do you do? You know, I think they have YouTube videos on that now, but I think that's really interesting that now it's going in the reverse. Now there's a new scare tactic, and we can't talk about what's good because then you'll be comfortable.
Yeah. For me, it was just like trying to find balance with it all, you know. I you know what, it's talking about, like, being, like, okay to come around. Like, I think, and what it's done for me, part of it, I try not to debate. I try not to point fingers. I try not to accuse and those kind of things. Just because I came from that, you know, in the Christian thing of debating and always being right and all that kind of stuff. So I try to be more open-minded and, you know what I'm saying, level-headed. So I do see that, like, I'm on the opposite side of that now. So I am more free, more open to conversation and stuff like that. I mean, there'll be people on my podcast that I'm interviewing, and people who are kind of still in a religious mindset, and in the comment section, they'll just want me to lay into them, and, you know what I'm saying, let them have it and things like that. But I'm like, no, I'm here to listen, man. I'm here to find common ground and kind of build on that, you know?
That's very cool. So this is a part of the show where you get to tell us where we can find more about you.
For sure. All of my stuff, the music, my podcast, my meditations, my book, all of it can be found on my website, truthseeker.com, truthseeka.com, truthseeker.com.
What is the major thing, if you only had one thing, nothing else, just one thing that you could guarantee for your daughter, what would it be?
Just peace, you know? Just so that she'll be able to, you know, take that with her wherever she goes, and she can, but that she would hold on to it, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, which is our inheritance, you know, and so to never let that go.
Amen to that. So one of my favorite quotes is, and I don't remember who, I don't know if it was Socrates, he says, we have two ears and one mouth. The two ears are to listen twice as hard and the one mouth to only talk once.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
For sure. I mean, you know, the observer, being able to listen and to observe and what's going on. You learn a lot if you just listen. And I've learned a lot. I mean, listening to people on my podcast, and what you find out is that we have more in common than we think.
I love that. I love it when people sit down. They have these documentaries where they have individuals that are supposedly completely opposite, whether it's skin color, religion, whatever it is, but they have a screen mm-hmm. in between, and they're having a conversation like normal people would have a conversation. And when they meet, they're kind of taken aback, like, I don't think I would have ever really sat down to have a conversation with you because you're this or that or this.
Yeah.
I think it's really exciting that there are more people having conversations and expanding their universe because people are really deliciously flawed. I think they're beautiful and wonderful. And
mm-hmm.
to see that mind opening is awesome. Have you watched the documentary Humans yet?
No. But I've seen, I mean, there's a lot of YouTubers who are like kind of copying stuff like that, and it's really cool. I'm definitely into that.
I am too. I just finished the YouTube series Humans, and I highly recommend it. I sat there and I'm like, God, you're so beautiful, and I'm so sorry that this happened to you. But you know, it's your path. It's your destiny. It's what you're supposed to go through. But God, I'd like to go and have tea with you. I'd like to go out and have a glass of wine with you. You know, you just mm-hmm. feel more empowered with this very large world that is actually very small.
Yeah, helping people to feel more comfortable in their skin is what I do, you know, and I kind of bridge the two realms, whether it's the religious realm of people who are still like in church or coming out of it, and there's condemnation and there's fear and there's stay away from this kind of thing. And then there's the other side too of the people who are have never encountered Christ or the Bible or anything like that, and just so they're stepping into it for the first time, and I've kind of been a guide to some of the beautiful eclectic things within the scriptures. And so just being a bridge of people to be just to embrace their differences and be okay with it, you know, to see the things that tie us together, because religion has really done a number on helping us be able to really identify what makes us different versus being able to see what makes us the same. And I really love that when people step into that revelation and step into their destiny and who they really are and embody that. It's so awesome.
It is. It's beautiful. And, you know, when you look at children, and I don't know how old your daughter is. Mine just turned 4. Well, she's going to be turning 15. Like, oh God, I'm getting old. But when she was little,
she's 15.
Oh my God, she had years too. Okay.
Yeah.
So I remember, you know, here's this sky blue eyed little girl with the cutest ears. and she just was full of it. She was full of piss and vinegar, full of wonder, full of giggles, like the happiest kid I think I've ever met in my life. And I just watched her be amazed with absolutely everything. And she loved everyone and every animal and every vegetable in the world. She was her best friend. You know, I'd gardens at the time. And I think that is pure bliss. I think that is as close to a nirvana as you can possibly get, as, you know, your years before five.
Yeah. I mean, that does a number on me, on you, watching your kid grow up, you know, and the evolution of consciousness and evolution of learning and things like that. And then again, my daughter's in high school now, and it's like, and she grew up for the most part in Christian school, and now she's in secular regular high school, and it's so different. And trying to see her navigate through that stuff, and just, you know, depression and pressure, peer pressure, and like all of these things coming in. I know it's part of life. It's all part of the experience, you know, and for her to have her own. But it's different. You know, you see pictures when they were five and stuff like that, and it's like the innocence and stuff. You know, and they're all, but you know, they're always like that, right? That child is always in there. And so to, I think our job is, and especially for us even, to return back to the innocence when we were children, you know, and that awe and wonder and everything. I think that's what my music's doing. It's igniting awe and wonder and creativity and angels and spirits and astral travel and just all of these things that just by listening to it is ignites that in the hearts and minds of people. And so, you know, I think that it's our job and our duty to protect that in our kids and in ourselves and in the world as well.
Well, and I love the way a butterfly slowly, painfully picks its way out of its cocoon, the caterpillar, and becomes the butterfly. And that's a very painful transformation, because nothing is that is transformative is easy. And if somebody tells you it is, they're lying and selling you snake oil. So, you know, you watch beauty and you watch the transformation and you watch the change. And as a parent, I wonder what's more painful. You as a parent going, oh, they're getting ready to leave. I don't want them to leave. But, you know, they have to. Or is it being a child and going into the transformation of being a young person into an adult?
Yeah. Yeah, that whole, just the whole process is intricate. You have to protect it. You know,
absolutely. Well, we're going to wrap up the show. I want you to tell everybody where they can reach out to connect with you. I am so grateful that you are on the show. I'm so grateful to have met you and got to know you and your family a little bit better. Thank you for doing all that you do and keep up the really good work.
For sure. Yeah, I look forward to having you on my show too. So we're going to do that one really soon.
Oh, that's
soon
right.
As well,
that's right.
So.
We're going to do that soon.
Yep. Yeah, so again, you know, my website, truthseeker.com, truthseeka.com. But anywhere that you're on some type of social media, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, wherever you are, if you type in Truth Seeker, I'll come up and I'll converse with you that way.
Awesome. Do you have any last words, my young friend?
That's it, man. Just, you know, just resonate on everything we've been talking about, just the peace and love of God, which is our inheritance. And it's as close as our next breath, and it's as deep and as mystical as we want it to be. And we can go as far as we want to go, as long as you can comprehend it and you can believe it, you can manifest it and walk in it in your life. And I'm living proof of that. And many other people that I've had on my show and podcast, and I know you too, talking to many different eclectic souls that we can embody that our best life now and walk in the things that God has for us here on this planet. So.
Amen. You're a blessing. Thank you so much. And I look forward. I forgot that I was going to be on your show. When is I literally have 50 more shows to book in my inbox. It's just been so crazy. I don't even know when I'm
February
on your show.
6th.
I know. February 6th.
11.
Oh my God. That's
yep.
Next week.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow. All right.
Wait. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
I don't have you on. I got to put you on my calendar. Shoot. All right. At 11 a.m.?
Yep. 11 your time. You're Eastern, right?
I'm Eastern.
Yep. 11 a.m.
All right, love bag. Well, I guess I'll talk to you next week. Well, how cool is that? That worked out.
For sure. I look forward to it. Thanks so much for having me. It was a blessing.
I did too. Take care, honey. I'll talk to you next week. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I'm Rusty, and we just got the chat with Truth Seeker. Go check him out. His book, Spirit Realm, Angels, Demons, Spirits, and the Sovereign. Great read, lots of fun, and lots of history in there. And what I love about what he's doing is he is able to mix a paradigm. He's in this vortex of delightful understanding, and that's what we need. We need more people to be considerate, compassionate, and understanding. I am going to head off for a few minutes, take a little bit of a break, but at 3:30 we have Michelle Lowry on. She is one of my dearest friends. I love her to death. And speaking of amazing spiritual people, we're going to keep the conversation going at 3:30 here on Living and Thriving with Rusty. I love you. You're beautiful. Don't forget to do something kind for somebody. And, hey, talk to you soon.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.